I want to introduce you to a phrase this morning. It just so happened. You know, it just so happened that your parents met, and it just so happened that they courted, and it just so happened that you happened because of that. And it just so happened that you survived the womb, and it just so happened that you got out alive and that you grew up, and in spite of the drama you've gone through and the reversals you've gone through, it just so happened that God preserved you when better people around you are dead. It just so happened that you got up this morning to come here. It just so happened that your entire life is a webbing of little dominoes that hit other little dominoes and bring us to where we are. We're going to look at the book of Esther just very briefly, but we're going to look at the phrase, it just so happened. This has been ringing in my heart for the entire week. I've been looking over my life, and I've been looking at all the strands of my life that have been woven together into the tapestry that is my life. And it just so happened that this happened, and that didn't happen, and I was brought through, and others weren't. And loved one, if you look at your life, and you look back, and you ask God for vision, you will see that there's a lot of times when you happen upon the holy. I love that phrase, happening upon the holy. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob, the Bible says he goes to a place. He's running from his brother. He's running from the fruit of his own sin. He is a liar, a huckster, a cheater. His life has gone downhill, but it says he just happened upon a spot, pulled up a rock for a pillow, fell asleep. Well, that site he just happened to fall upon happened to be Bethel. It happened to be the portal open between heaven and earth where a ladder was, where all of God's redemptive activity was entering and leaving this world. Did you know that there is no such thing as chance in our lives? When we're believers and we commit our hearts to Christ, it just so happened. No, there is no just so. It's the sovereign hand of God. And we're going to look at the book of Esther this morning for a few minutes, because you know there's nobody that can condense 8 chapters of a book quicker than I can in about 28 minutes. It's an interesting story, but it's a book, the book of Esther. The name of God is never mentioned in the book, but the hand of God is seen on every page and in every detail. And I want to encourage every one of us today that despite you, whatever you are and whoever you've been, you're going to happen upon the holy. Jacob was a sinner. He was unworthy. It was unsought. But he just happened to trip and fall on the exact spot where God wanted him. And I'm going to encourage you in 3 areas today. Number 1, God is in control. Number 2, you are in the right place right now. You are in the right place right now. And number 3, I want to encourage you that your obedience right now where you are is going to bring you to where God wants you to be. If you will just be obedient where you are, you will get to where you're supposed to be. And we're going to look at a little girl named Esther. That was the name given to her after a very interesting set of events. I'm just going to quote for a text in chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Let me read that again. That's our text. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now let me tell you Esther's story. When the people of God go into captivity, Esther is taken. She's an orphan. She's a disadvantaged nobody. She's taken into Babylon. She's taken into captivity. The Persians are now in charge. A nasty man named Xerxes is in charge. You remember the movie 300 and that smarmy guy they had with all the earrings and the gold playing Xerxes? He wasn't quite that guy, but probably had some similarities. And Xerxes is the Persian lord of the earth. And he has a wife named Vashti. And Vashti is become a very arrogant young lady. And he decides that he's going to divorce her. So he puts her away, and then there is a need for a new queen. And literally the story tells us there was a beauty pageant. Esther, this orphan Jewess, she doesn't tell anybody, is chosen to be the king's wife. Well, this nobody, this ordinary young woman who's got a lot against her, this orphan and this exile, is exalted to a place of extreme influence and prominence. God uses willing nobodies. And while in that place of prominence, her cousin Mordecai is an official. He overhears a plot to kill Xerxes, and he reports the plot. And they write that down in a book. And this godly man named Mordecai saves the king's life. Fade out. There's a wicked man named Haman. We always got to have the bad guy in the story. Haman is a man who is he's a petty place seeker. He's trying to gain his own foothold of power, and he is the right hand of Xerxes. You know, sometimes evil people find a way of squirming in near power. And Haman is a man who is devoted to his own self-interest, and he hates Mordecai. Haman is the number one guy in the empire next to Xerxes, and he rides down the street and everyone must bow, but Mordecai, who is a Jew, will not bow. And he stands. He only bows to God, and Haman sees that Mordecai won't bow, and he seethes in rage. Do you know, when the wicked, they may have everything, but they want the one thing they can't get. They want the one. Everyone was bowing. It wasn't enough for Haman. He wanted even that last Jew. And Mordecai says, I'm not going to bow because I'm a Jew. So Haman gets the idea, okay, then I'm going to wipe out all the Jews. So he sets a plan, as the devil does in every age, to destroy the redemptive people of God and destroy the work of God. Do you remember when Moses was born? Satan was waiting to destroy Moses through Pharaoh. And in this case, Haman is the type of Satan who rises up to not only kill Esther, but to wipe out the people of God, but every time he is thwarted. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, there was a man named Herod, and Herod sought to be the enemy's tool to destroy Jesus and destroy his work. And the devil's at work in our time right now, trying to kill strategic men, women, boys, and girls, and to try to somehow block the work of God. But let me tell you, all the scotch tape and concrete in the world that he's got is not going to hold back this torrential river of God's outpouring that we're just about to see. There's nothing the devil has that can stop God. Christ could not be held in that tomb. Beyond the third day, he was coming out. No grave could hold him down. And no dam the enemies erected will hold back God's will. Haman, though, is at work trying to convince Xerxes. He even gets a signed order from the king of Persia to kill all the Jews. And everything looks like the devil's winning. Does it look like the devil's winning in your life? Sometimes it does. It looks like he's got the upper hand. For a minute, this too shall pass. But Haman does seem to have it locked up. Satan sometimes looks like he's God. He looks like he's in control. He looks like he has an ironclad grip. But remember my word and my theme for this year, 2 Samuel 3:1. And the house of Saul became weaker and weaker, and the house of David waxed stronger and stronger. What has seemed invincible is getting weak. What has been weak and downtrodden is being lifted up. You take heart. The valleys are being lifted up. The mountains are being pushed down. But in the story of Esther, Haman has set to destroy the people of God, but God has sent Esther to a strategic place, and now it's her time to shine. And that's the text we read. Mordecai comes to Esther and says, Esther, this wicked man has planned to kill the people. You better step up right now. You're not immune just because you're the queen, honey. You're not immune. You're a Jew. If we all die, you're going down with us. You better do something. You better use your place. I believe God's raising us all up with new passion to fill our place and to seize the moment and the opportunity he's given to us in our life. Esther was in a cushy place, but it was now time for her to do something risky and to do something bold. And she literally said, I'm going to approach the king about this. Now, in ancient times, if you approached the king without a request, without him asking, you would be killed at the door. Unless he held a gold scepter to you, acknowledging his favor to you. And Esther said, you know, the king hasn't summoned me. I'm risking my own life. But she puts on all of her best clothes and she walks up to that door and they open the door and the king sees her. And instead of ordering her death because he hadn't requested her presence, he extends that golden scepter and he says, come on down, queen. He shows her favor. And in that moment, she says, oh, great king, just want to have a dinner with you. That's all. Oh, and Haman, I'd like you to bring Haman along with you, because he's so favored by you. Why don't you all come and have dinner at my house tomorrow? And the king says, well, what do you need? What do you want? He goes, I'll tell you at dinner. I'll tell you later. All right? So the next day, I'm giving you an abbreviated story now. The next day, Haman and the king show up, and I'll give you the thunder up front. Haman's plans are foiled against the Jews and against Esther. The devil who has created a gallows 80 feet high winds up swinging on his own gallows. Loved one, I don't care how high the devil is building a gallows for you. He may be threatening you. It may be 75 feet high, 80 feet high. The devil may be saying it's over for you. He may be saying you're dead. You've got a short time left. But whatever gallows Satan is building for you, Haman's gallows, Haman's going to swing from his own gallows. Let me just tell you right now. They may be building it high, but it's going to be all the higher to see them hanging from it. Now, that's just poetic justice. It's the way God works. So in the end, everything's fine. But now we're going to walk through the story a little bit, and we're going to look at this phrase, it just so happened. It just so happened. And I want you to have an eye after this morning to look at your life in a different way. Look at the relationships of your life as sovereign, a sovereign acts of God. Look at the circumstances you find yourself in, knowing God is in control, I'm in the right place, and my routine obedience in the right place is going to bring me to destiny. Loved one, listen. Esther, first of all, was a nobody. Now let's look at the story and let's break it down a little bit. Because God's methods are not always the methods we would choose. Have you figured that out? God's methods are not always the methods I would choose. You know, Your Majesty, not to offend you, but I think it stinks. Some methods God's use, I think, stink. And He didn't ask me. That's why He's not asking my mind or my counsel. Not all God's methods make sense to me, and God's timing doesn't always make sense to me. The thing that befuddles me more than anything else is the timing of God. Why doesn't He move quicker? Why hasn't He answered this prayer by now or that prayer? Why hasn't He healed this person? Why hasn't He opened this door for me? Why hasn't He? Why? God's timing, His moments, and His methods are not mine. So I've learned not to question His moments and His methods. Now, I complain about them all the time. But I've gotten to the point where I just have to realize God's in control, I'm in the right place, and my routine obedience in this right place is going to bring me to destiny. That's just the way I have to think. I have to live that way. And we're going to look at why. In the book of Esther, the first thing I want you to see, but just something that just came to pass. First of all, Esther is a normal person. She had a lot against her. She was an orphan, she was an exile, she was a nobody, but she was a normal person caught up in God's plan. She was caught up, and you are a normal person, and you are caught up in God's plan. Whether you see it or not, whether you know it or not, has nothing to do with you being caught up in His plan. And notice Esther also, she was at the right place at the right time. She just, her life, just like through the spin cycle in the dryer, she still, when everything was all, the ups and downs were over, she wound up at exactly the right place she was supposed to be, and she did the right thing. So I'm talking to ordinary people who are caught up in the plan of God. You're going to find out that you're at the right place at the right time, and you're going to do the right thing. You're going to do the right thing. Now let's break down her story. It just so happened. Well, notice the first thing is that Vashti was the wife of Xerxes. Xerxes was so rich that it took him 150 days of partying to show all his riches. Can you imagine that? He just said, "Here, I want to show you how wealthy I am." And there were 150 days of partying, and wherein he was showing his jewels and his diamonds and his gold. And at the end of this huge display, he said, "Now I want to show you the most beautiful thing I have. You ain't seen nothing yet. My wife, Vashti." And he calls her and says, "I want you to come. I want them to just take a look at you." And she says, "No, I think not." Did you know there's some people that'll forget that you put them where they are? I said, there's something about pride. You can raise someone up. You can be the instrument to raise somebody up to prominence, and they will forget you, and they will forget everything. They have spiritual Alzheimer's, and all of a sudden they forget they owe everything they are to you. This is what happened here. Vashti thought because she was the queen of Xerxes that she was a little goddess and that she didn't have to listen to anybody, especially her husband. And that was setting an example in the entire world. And his advisor said, if you don't get rid of this woman and act on this, every woman in the empire is going to raise up. We're going to have a real feminist uprising here. So do something. And so he said, well, what shall I do? They said, put her out. Did you know that God put Vashti out in order to make a place for Esther to get in? And I'm telling you, somebody is being put out right now so that God can put you in. God is working right now. He's putting some people out. You say, well, I don't want anyone to lose anything. You know what? Leave it to God. He is the one that puts up one and puts down another. He is a God who raises up the valleys and puts down the mountains. Vashti got thrown out, so there was a room made for Esther. And don't you doubt for a minute, it just so happened Vashti got thrown out. And it just so happened that Esther was there, an orphan, an exile. But, here's our second point, it just so happened there was a beauty contest. Forget American Idol, it was Persian Idol. It was Persians Got Talent. Yeah, Persians Got Talent. And there was this huge beauty pageant announced. And it just so happened that Mordecai, who's working in the government, says to little Hadassah, little Esther, he says, honey, we're going to put you in Persian Idol. We're going to put you in, the running, and you're going to go from millions down to thousands, down to hundreds, down to, and guess who won Persian Idol? It was Esther. It just so happened that what Esther was is what was necessary, and she was the only woman who could win that beauty contest. Did you know what God has put in you by birth is qualifying you to be the only one that is going to win that place of honor? You don't need to worry about it. What you are, what Esther was enough for her to win. It just so happened. It was a beauty contest. It just so happened she was exactly the type that the king was going to be interested in. Loved one, it isn't. Now, she was prepared. You know, I'm sure she put a little bit of eyeshadow on and put her best dress on. But the bottom line was she was by birth what was necessary to win that contest. And I believe everything you are and everything you become is qualifying you to take a place that Vashti is abdicating. Now, Vashti represents the proud. Vashti represents those who exalt themselves and are in a place there where they don't belong, a place they don't appreciate, a place they don't value, and she had to be thrown out. God's putting some people out right now. You're going to see a lot of people dying in the culture. You're going to see a lot of people dethroned. You're going to see a lot of things in the body of Christ that will disturb you. You're going to see scandals revealed. Don't be hopeless. Just know Vashti is being put out so that Esther can be put in. And what you have become all your life is going to qualify you to win this beauty contest. God is enrolling every one of us in a contest, whether it's singing, beauty, intelligence, whatever it is, but you're born for that slot, and no one else can have it but you. So be encouraged. There's no devil in hell. It just so happened that Vashti was put out and a place was made for Esther. It just so happened that there was a beauty contest that only she could win. I remember when I was in London the first time, a wonderful friend of this ministry, Johnny Foote, gave me a prophetic word. He said, Craig, God's going to give you a bat so big and pitch you a ball so big that you cannot possibly miss it. And then he's going to pitch it to you. And you're just going to have to swing the bat. It's going to hit the ball and it's going to be a home run and you're going to deliver the whole team and just don't worry about it. You're going to have a big bat, a big ball, and he's pitching to make sure that that home run happens every time. I'd speak that word over you right now. It just so happened that God is sovereign and in control of every thread of your life. Relax. God's in control. You're in the right place. Routine obedience in this place is going to bring you to destiny. Trust me. Trust God's word. It just so happened. Happening upon the holy. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Well, it just happened that they called just then, and it just so happened that there was an availability, and it just so, how many times a week do you see favor from a parking place all the way through? That's an it just so happened moment. That's happening upon the holy. Call it what it is. Say, Lord, I acknowledge you in this. He was having symptoms, and my God, if we hadn't called just then and the paramedics hadn't been there just then, if only. Yeah, God is constantly taking care of you and blessing you and encouraging you. God is in control. You're in the right place. Routine obedience in your right place is going to bring you to destiny. Look at Esther. Let's look at a few more things. It just so happened Vashti was deposed. And you know what? God is bringing down a lot of pride right now. People who think the world owes them a living will have a hard time collecting. Amen. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that this beauty contest demonstrated that everything that Esther was is exactly what the moment demanded. But notice another thing that happened. The devil was planning in the midst. While everyone's rejoicing over Esther's marriage to the king, while the great feasting and rejoicing is going on, the devil is planning a strategy. Satan never sleeps. He's never resting. We can always learn something from the devil. He always shows up. He always gives something in the offering. He's always giving his little something, and he's consistent, and he just keeps hitting one brick 1,000 times. You know, we can learn a few things from him, our enemy. But Haman is planning and scheming because Haman doesn't like the fact that he has everything in the empire but one Jew that will not bow his knee. He's obsessed with it day and night. He's talking to his wife. He's chain smoking. He's biting his nails. She goes, honey, what's the matter? You're the most powerful man in the world next to Xerxes. And he goes, yes, but that man Mordecai won't bow to me. Loved one, the devil will never stop working against us, but that should comfort us. He must be threatened by something that we represent. You know, if you be like Mordecai and you just do the next right thing and you just don't bow to anyone but God, you're going to make some enemies. I promise you, you're going to make some enemies. If you do the right thing, someone, somewhere is not going to like you. I don't care how nice you are, how kind you are, how reconciliation-oriented and redemptive. You are going to be hated by somebody. Mordecai did what was appropriate. He wouldn't bow to this scumbag, and now he's being tortured for it. He's being punished for it. Haman will not rest. He wants that man strung up. But I want you to notice what happens. That man, Mordecai, it just so happened he's a government official, and he overhears a plan. There's a guy named Bigthana and a guy named Teresh, and it just so happens he's in the right place at the right time to hear through the wall them saying, and we'll assassinate Xerxes, and after we're done killing him, we'll take over. Just so happened Mordecai was in the right place to overhear this plan. And so Mordecai reports it to Esther and says, Esther, there's a plan to assassinate the king. And it gets to Xerxes, they check it out, and it's true. And these two men are arrested and killed. And it is written in a book, the Chronicles of the Persian Kings. Did you know that every good thing you've ever done is written in God's book? And it is going to be remembered. People may not remember the good things you do, but everything you do is written down. Everything you do, God goes, I remember, I've got you covered. I'm in control, I've got you covered. I know what you did. Mordecai saved the life of Xerxes, and it was recorded in this book that got put in the library on the shelf somewhere. And you may feel like you've been put on the shelf somewhere. Lord, what about my life? What about my blessing? What about my future? What about? You know what? Don't worry about what about. It just so happened that Mordecai overheard a plan to assassinate Xerxes. And it just so happened he had a connection in the White House in order to get the word to power. And fade out. Loved one, don't ever doubt that God has noted every act of kindness you've shown on his behalf. People may not notice, but he notices. God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. It's written in his book. And we'll get back there in a minute, because God at the right time knows how to bring that strange book off a shelf and open it right up and put his finger right down on your name. Whether you know it or not, somewhere, someone is speaking your name. Someone is putting their finger on your name. Somebody is drawing a line, not through, but under your name. Someone is going to create a strategy to bless you. Somehow. You don't have to know who it is. You don't have to know where it's coming from. But look at the book of Esther. This simple girl who was at the right place at the right time doing the right thing is being brought to the most strategic crossroads of her life. You know, I don't think we always know when we're at the crossroads of our life. I don't think we always know it. We think there's going to be bells and whistles and Disneyland effects, and not usually. Usually you just wind up, it just so happens you're available and you say the right word at the right time and on the phone to somebody and you hang up and you never hear the result. But that one phone call resulted in a transformed life that put them on fire with God, and you're responsible for all the blessing that emerges from that person's life from that point on. And you may not even see that is your crossroads. That is your destiny. That's what you were put on earth to do, but you just happened upon the holy. It just so happened. You know, and if we point back and go, did you know, remember you talked to so-and-so? I had someone come up to me recently, which is, by the way, always encouraging. And they said they're in ministry. They've been in ministry for almost 25 years. And they just said, Pastor, I just wanted you to know I got born again at your Bible study. I accepted Christ as my Savior at Liberty Canyon one night when you were there. I never knew it. A very prominent person. I never knew it. That it was that night. It just so happened they were there and I was there. God was there. The word was correct. They gave their heart to Jesus and now they've gone on to great things. It was refreshing to hear. But God's using you that way too, whether you know it or not. Right now, somebody is going to be used strategically to draw a line under your name. But let me get there in just a minute. Next, it just so happened that Esther now comes to the point where she has to do something. She has to speak up for her people. Now, did you notice that she never mentioned she was a Jewess? Now, she didn't lie. She's never lied. She just didn't mention. It's just never come up. There's a lot of things that just have never come up in your life that might come up. But it's got to be the right time when you bring them up. You don't just meet people you don't know and spill all your guts on them. I meet some people that go, hi, my name's... Sandy, and I was abused, and I was raped, and I was beaten up, and I was an alcoholic, and I don't know them. I've just met them. You don't You don't do that to people. Hi, what was your name again? Okay. I've known them 40 seconds and I know all about their incest wounds. That's over-disclosure, loved one. You don't want to do that. You don't need to do, that's not intimacy. That's emotional nakedness. And that's not healthy. Not healthy. You know, I needed a shower after just that one hug and handshake. You know, some people you meet, they're such an open book. That's not a virtue, by the way. That's not wise to do that. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine and don't give what is holy to the dogs. So show a pearl before you give a pearl and develop a bit of a friendship or relationship before you start giving us all the details. That's not my message, but I just want you to get that right now. Mm-hmm. That's just a little pastoral counseling. It won't hurt you. So what happens now is there's a busy night. Esther comes to the king. She gets bold. She takes a risk. She's come to the kingdom for this moment. And the Bible says she opens those doors and there is the king. And she will be killed where she stands unless the king sees, acknowledges, and holds the scepter. The scepter of gold represents favor, favor, and grace. Favor ain't fair. You either have it or you don't. And Esther had it. It just so happened that the king was just happened to be in a good mood, and Esther happened to open the doors at the right time, and he just happened to hand out that golden scepter, and she came up, and he said to her, listen, up to the half of my kingdom, I'll give you. What do you want? I believe we're all entering a time where God's going to show us extraordinary favor with people we never would dream we would have favor with. And you know what? Just accept it. Don't ask questions. If someone says you look really nice today, don't say, oh, this old thing. Just say thank you. If someone wants to bless you, just say, thank you very much. God bless you. I receive it. He said, up to the half of my kingdom, I will give you. That's favor. And all she asks is him to come over to supper. That's all. But bring Haman. Now, I want you to show this busy night that's been going on here. Busy night. Haman's all excited because he's got the favor of Xerxes now and the favor of Esther, and he's very happy, and he runs home to his wife, and he goes, oh, I've got a special dinner with the king and the queen tomorrow. Who's the man? Who's the man? Who's the man? And he looks out the window, and he sees Mordecai down there at the gate with sackcloth and ashes on because Mordecai knows there's trouble. And he's filled with rage. He goes, look at that old Jew sitting down there. That's the guy I'm telling you about. And his wife goes, honey, calm down. You got the favor of the world. What are you worried about that man for? And he said, I cannot taste my food. I can't enjoy anything. I want him dead. So they say, look, why don't you just use your power, build a gallows in the backyard, 80 feet tall, and we'll just hang him on that. And Haman is pacified. He feels better about himself. He goes, no, I feel better now. Yeah. So he orders, build a gallows 80 feet tall. Somewhere the devil has made a plan to hang you from an 80 foot tall gallows. And it's not looking too exciting and encouraging. But let me encourage you, he will wind up hanging from his own gallows. Just let him keep building. The taller it is, the longer the rope. You know, and they may imagine you swinging from that rope, but guess what? The Bible says the unrighteous man digs a pit for the righteous, but he falls therein. Just let him keep digging a pit, a real big, deep one, because that's what they're going to fall into, not you. They're going to fall into the pit. Let him build the gallows real high. In fact, encourage him. That's a little short. Why don't you put another 10 feet on that? Encourage them to build a huge gallows system. Because the enemy has built this elaborate system for your embarrassment, for your shame, and he's the one that is going to taste shame and embarrassment and humiliation. Someone say amen. So it's a busy night. Haman's ordering Mordecai's death. See, this is all going on in a compressed narrative. So Haman is saying, kill him. He's all ready for his wonderful day tomorrow where the king and the queen are going to honor him. But notice, it just so happened that very night, Xerxes couldn't sleep. His sleeping pills, the Xanax didn't work. And Xerxes wakes up. He's the king of the world. He doesn't know what to do. He can't sleep. Sometimes you just can't sleep. And you turn on TV and you try to read a book and you just try to lay down and you stare at the ceiling. Well, it just so happened, there it is again, Xerxes couldn't sleep that night. And he wanted to read something. So he said, bring me some book. And lo and behold, the book of the kings of Persia brought down. This is the chronicle where all the good deeds on behalf of the king are written. And they just happened to bring that book to him that night, and they just happened to open it up, and he just happens to put his finger on Mordecai's name. And he looks and he goes, Mordecai, who's he? And they go, well, he saved your life, your majesty. He overheard these two slime balls that were trying to kill him, and he reported, and Xerxes said, has anything been done for him? And he said, oh, no, absolutely nothing. No one did anything, didn't even thank him. Xerxes said, I'm going to take care of that. Loved one, in one night, the enemy can plan your destruction while God is busy having somebody speak your name. In one night, the devil can plan your undoing and build a gallows 80 feet tall. And in one night, he can cause a king not to be able to sleep. So they take down a book and they happen to open it to the page and they put their finger on your name. We serve a God who is sovereignly in control of the nations and your life. God is in control. You're in the right place, Esther. And routine obedience is going to bring you to your destiny. Don't worry. It just so happened. So here we've got a busy night. We've got the king who is now planning the blessing of Mordecai. Now check this out. So in the morning, Haman comes wandering in, ready to be exalted by the king and the queen. And he walks into the king, and the king says, Haman, what shall be done to the man who honors the king? What shall be done for a servant that well pleases the king? And Haman, listen, the enemy of God's people says, why, your majesty, put them in your robes, put them on a horse, and parade them around for all the world to see. And Xerxes says, good idea. Mordecai's the man I want to exalt, and you're going to bless him. Oh, Haman, who hates Mordecai, Haman, who's built gallows to hang him, is ordered by the king to put him in the king's robes. God will make your enemies dress you. We're moving into a time where God is going to bring your enemies to dress you. Haman was forced to smile, one of those FDR smiles, as he put the Xerxes robes on Mordecai, the despised Jew, puts him up on the horse of the king, and leads him around to the cheering crowds of all the provinces. Haman's having a bad day. Are we having a bad day? It just so happened. Loved one, God, he sees you humbling yourself, and he will exalt you in due time. Remember, but God's methods and moments are not the same as ours. I don't know why he uses the methods he uses. I don't know why he waits for the moments he waits for. But as we wrestle with the moments and methods of God, it makes us into the people we're supposed to be. So here's Esther. She's now realizing God is in control. I'm in the right place. And I'm going to be routinely obedient in this right place. And it's going to bring me to those moments where I happen upon the holy. Now take a look at the story. So what happens is Haman is forced to bless Mordecai. God, as you've heard me say before, will use a dirty bird to bless you. He used a raven to feed Elijah. He'll use a non-Christian to financially support you. He will call people that don't even know God to bless you. And in this case, he uses that situation. Haman is forced to dress Mordecai. Now, after this all happens, Haman's got an Excedrin headache number 3. He goes home after this and he's freaking out, but he's got to get dressed for dinner because he's still got to go and meet Xerxes and Esther and look super good and getting better. He's got to look like everything's okay. So here he comes. He's seething inside. He wants Mordecai dead. He's been forced to exalt Mordecai. And now he comes into dinner. And here's the cincher. This man, the tool of the enemy, Haman, who has tried to destroy the Jews, he's tried to wipe out Esther's people. They're in an intimate, in-camera little dinner, right? There's Xerxes, Esther, and Haman. And they're having a wonderful dinner. You imagine that elaborate palatial dinner they're having that night. And finally, Xerxes says, honey, I can't stand it for another minute. What do you want? What do you want from me? I told you up to the half of my kingdom, I'll give you anything. Now, you've got to tell me. I'm starting to get angry. And she says, okay. You know, the right word at the right time, there's no replacement for it. You do the right thing at the wrong time, it's the wrong thing. You notice that little motto on our website, a word in season to him that is weary, Isaiah 50 verse 4, a word in season to him that is weary. You got to have the right word at the right time to the right people. Then it's magic. Esther says to the king, oh, your majesty, do you love me, honey? And he goes, oh, yes, I love you. He goes, well, you know what? Somebody's trying to kill me. He goes, what? He goes, yeah, I'm a Jew. I didn't mention it. Just never came up. I'm a Jew, and you gave a command to kill all the Jews, and so somebody's trying to kill me. And he goes, I would never do such a thing. Who would make me do such a thing? And she goes, Haman. this guy. And the king is so angry, he gets up and walks out to just count to 10. And he falls at her feet and grabs her dress and says, please forgive me, I want mercy. Then the king comes in, just so happens to come in there, and he goes, will you also force the queen? You know, it's not a good day for Haman. Loved one, when the devil falls, he's fallen hard. When the enemy is brought down in your life in the next little while, he's coming down hard. And the king is enraged and the plot is exposed. And it just so happened that all these dominoes struck this one and that one and that one and this one. And it came to a culmination where God, the sovereign of heaven and earth, is in control. Esther was in the right place. Her routine obedience in that place brought her to destiny and saved the nation of Israel. I want to encourage you, you may be a nobody like Esther. You may think that you're just an ordinary exile. You're an ordinary orphan. But loved one, God's put you at the right place at the right time. Just do the right thing. Just keep doing the next right thing. Keep doing the next right thing. Keep praying for enough light to see just the next right thing, and you will come to your place of prominence and destiny. You will fulfill the purpose of God for your generation. Amen? Let's pray. Bow your head. Father, we thank you right now for your mercy. We thank you that, Lord, you are in control, whether we see it or not. We thank you that we're in the right place, whether we feel we are or not. Thank you that our routine obedience in this right place is going to bring us to the place of blessing and success, Father. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, those that are weary and well-doing, that you strengthen them, Lord. Those that are wondering, well, what about the future and how do I make sense of the past, that they'll just keep their eyes right ahead front and on the next step that they take. Lord, we can't understand and fathom the past and the future, but we can do the next right thing right now. And I pray for your encouragement upon your precious children right now. Thank you, Lord, that it just so happened they heard this message. And it just so happened that the Holy Spirit anointed it and encouraged them. And they are going to start seeing everyone under the sound of my voice that they are happening upon the holy every moment of every day. Lord, where we're living right now, we have happened upon the holy. In our relationships and friendships, we have happened upon the holy. In our working context, we've happened upon the holy. Thank you, Lord, that if you don't want it for us, you're going to shut and lock the door against us and no pounding will open it. And if you got something for us, the door is going to be blasted open and there's no one that can shut the door in front of us. You're in control. We're in the right place. Our routine obedience will bring destiny. And we ask right now, Lord, for joy to come to the hearts of your people, hope to come into the hearts of your people, blessing to emerge in the hearts of your people. The God who saved the Jews in the time of Esther will save our lives and our hopes and our dreams, Lord. And we give you all glory in advance for everything you're going to do in our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord some praise right there. Give him some praise.